So is it on?
Yes.
Okay, 3 weeks ago, when Trish called me and invited me to this event, I understood that it was an event showing some Tibetan artifacts. And I thought, well, I'm really busy. I don't know whether I can go into town for that, but I did want to see here, and I thought, well, we'll go out for dinner, and it'd be nice to have a little visit. When I got to this place, I realized that I had walked into something that was world-class, something that was amazing to be in Missoula, because it wasn't artifacts, it was these little parts of the great masters of and the Buddha religion. And what are they called?
Relics.
The relics. They were relics. And I had heard about that. After a great master dies, they cremate the body in Tibet. And then the monks go back and look through the ashes and find little parts that become relics in the stupas and different sacred places. And since I had been there, I had walked around some of these stupas to honor and be blessed by these ancient teachers. And so I went, oh my gosh, I have walked into something really amazing here. And the film was very educational. It was a little get-acquainted film. And it kept getting more and more amazing to me. And the people putting on the event were very much into ceremony. And so they created such a beautiful ceremony for all of us that were coming to view these that I was way taken with their attention to detail and just how sweet it was to draw you into the sacredness of these relics that we were viewing in these cases. And they had a whole thing on the wall that was written about the different ones that were in this event. And it amazed me. It went back for thousands of years of different ones that were these great teachers. And one name popped out because I had heard it a lot when I was on my trip to Tibet around Mount Kailash. And it was Milarepa, whose cave we were able to go to and be in this cave of this wonderful master from 2,000 years ago. And I got more and more excited about this as it went along, and I got to thinking, well, this is a major life experience, a peak experience. And as you walked in the door, there was a person standing there with one of the relics, and this beauty, they had these beautiful little bell-shaped housing that the relics were in when they were moving around. And then when they were showing them, there was a little bowl with them in with the bell right beside it in these cases. So after I walked around and viewed all the relics and did some of the reading, the names were so over my head that I thought, well, after I got to Milarepa, that's the only name I would probably recognize anyway. And I went up to her to get blessed by placing this relic upon my forehead, on our crown chakra. And I went up and kneeled before her, and I asked, well, who's in this relic? And she said, this is a relic from the Buddha, the original teacher. And I went, oh my gosh, it just stunned me that was available in this little traveling show in Missoula, Montana. And it really opened my heart when I heard that. And so I said, big medicine. And she said, in a very honoring way of my past, she says, yes, big medicine. She put this object on my top of my head, and I felt a wonderful warm glow on my head and then going down in through my body, and tears started flowing out of my eyes. And people were kind of coming and going and looking, but I felt not self-conscious at all. I mean, I was so into the moment that I had no worry at all that I was doing anything that was weird or noticeable even. And afterwards, I got up, and there was a little corner place where there were some meditation pillows, and Trish was walking over there, so I went and sat beside her and sat down to meditate for a while. And I thought, I really hardly ever meditate in groups. I do much better alone. And I thought that this is a special occasion, and I'll just see what happens. And I thought about using a meditation technique that I've developed over the years and has really been very special to me. And it incorporates honoring all the chakras, the seven chakras of our body, and the earth and the heavens. Cultures all over the world honor these body energy centers, and chakras means wheels, and so they're wheels of light. And these wheels of light have been written by many great teachers, but there's a particular teacher of mine who had written a book, and I really liked her take on it, so she's kind of my teacher that I go to when I'm honoring those body energy systems. And I added to that, I very much am into the pyramid energies and honoring the earth and the sky. That is the name of my nonprofit, the Earth and the Sky Circle. And it's a very Native American way of viewing the cosmos. And I view the earth energy as a black pyramid, because if you go into a cave, it is so black that you actually experience the sacred void that was before anything was manifest. And so I start this meditation by going into the earth and being in that dark void before the manifest universe. And I let that energy touch the top of the pyramid. I let that energy touch my heart center, which is the middle medicine wheel of energy that's right in the center of our body, near where the heart is physically. So I first honor this first chakra, which is at the base of the spine, and it is the color red. And this wheel of light is actually our connection to Mother Earth. And from there I visualize deep roots of red going down into the earth and rooting me to my mother, the mother of all physical life. The next chakra going up the spine is the energy system dealing with sexuality, and it's orange. And that chakra is one that, and all of them actually, can be in a place of sacredness and in a place of out of balance. And in my life, I have tried to really honor the sacredness of my sexuality over the years. It's grown more and more from being a young man. And I try to honor that as I honor every other part of the universe as something very sacred. And as I was thinking about that, then I realized that this was a Buddhist gathering. And to the Buddhists, the highest achievement is to have compassion, which there again is greater than love. It's a much more encompassing and broad word than love, which can mean a lot of things to a lot of different people. And once I had the word compassion in my meditation, which I hadn't done before, or I had probably had touched on it before, but not to this degree, something really opened up to me. And as I continued on up my chakra system, the next one is yellow, and that's everything mental, and that's in the solar plexus area of our body. And all the mental dialogue that's always bouncing around in our heads and kind of keeping us from going into deep meditation. And somehow it was very quiet that day, more quiet than possibly it had ever been before. And I had compassion for that, this mind that is usually so active and bouncing like a ping pong ball back and forth from one thought to another. All these trails that one little nerve fires and it's connected to another, and a thought comes out of each one of them and back and forth, and pretty soon you're way down the trail from where you originally started in your meditation. The next chakra, which is green, is in the heart center, the very center of our being. And that's when I usually start thinking about compassion, because there again I've studied the Buddhist way and I know that it is connected with the heart center. But there again it was so much deeper and greater and encompassing that my meditation was getting deeper and deeper into areas I'd never gone before, and my eyes were just streaming tears, feeling compassion. And as I continued up to the throat center, that's the wheel of light, that's the communicating one, the one that we speak from and have all of our communications are through this center. And so that's the blue circle. Going up, we see we're forming a rainbow. And then we go to the forehead, which is the purple wheel of light, and that's the doorway to the world of spirit. So looking through that eye, we see the world of spirit, and there again, I saw deeper into that world than I had ever been before. And then at the crown, the top of the head, the crown chakra, sometimes called the thousand petaled lotus by the Buddhists, I also see that as a pyramid, only this one is a white pyramid. The rainbow colors all together create white. They come from black, the sacred void of no color, no light. And instead of seeing a thousand petal lotus, I like to see a white pyramid pointing down to my heart, and there again joining my heart with all the powers that are in the sky, everything that are in heavenly powers, powers of the spirits, the teachers, the non-physical universe. And when those two centers touch in my heart, they form a rainbow. And that rainbow is the rainbow of compassion. But this time when I saw that as the rainbow of compassion, there again it was a much deeper, more expansive word. And then I like to let that rainbow become a rainbow sphere of light that surrounds my body and encompasses all the energies of the earth and the sky and all the chakra systems at once. And I can feel the oneness of all the energies in my body, which there again, it's one of the things that we try to achieve in meditation, where we aren't separated with our own energy systems, but they become one. And then I like to expand that sphere of rainbow out until it encompasses my little community here in Montana. The mountain that I look at, the stream that runs through my land, all the trees, all the animals that walk through here, my neighbors, the other humans, and all the different birds, so many wonderful, wonderful creatures inhabit my community here. And I want to touch and be one with all of my community. And with this rainbow sphere, I feel like I can reach out and touch everything. But there again, this time, instead of just touching, I was feeling compassion for everything, every insect, every blade of grass, every flower, every scent, every sound, every element. And then from there, I like to expand it further into the region that I live in, this northern region, which takes in Montana and Canada. And it's such a wonderful region, and I've traveled most of it now. And there again, I'm becoming one with that region and all the people and all the things that go on there. Some good, some bad, some enlightened and some not so enlightened, but feeling compassion for all things, all people, all plants, all animals, all elementals. And then I like to expand that down to South America, which is another part of the world that I've spent a lot of time at, and I have friends down there, and I have memories of wonderful ceremonies, and I expand to the Western Hemisphere and take in all the wonderful, beautiful temples I've been to and the beautiful people that have done ceremony with down there and all the animals. And there again, this time I brought with me the compassion for every one of them. Some of them were maybe not so pleasant to be with, and others were sort of on a really uncomfortable path in the big cities that I've been to there. But it wasn't, there was no judgment involved. It was just compassion for all life, all things. And then I expand that rainbow sphere to encompass the entire world. In all the places I've traveled to, Africa, Tibet, Indonesia, Africa, it's just, there's so many places, Europe, that are so special to me. And so many friends and so many ceremonies. And then during this whole time, tears were flowing out of my eyes because I was feeling this deep, deep compassion for all things and all life. And then I like to expand that rainbow sphere further and encompass the sun, the moon, the planets, the asteroids, all the planets, the ones that travel in and out of our solar system, the comets. So our family that we look up and see in the sky, all the close ones that are near to us and affect us so strongly in our astrology and the way the energy moves on Earth. And there again, the compassion flowed out to all those beings. Oh, you can see every planet, every asteroid as a living, sentient being. And send love and compassion to every bit of it. And then the next leap is huge because it starts encompassing all the stars in our galaxy, the spiral galaxy, and I've seen pictures of it that the scientists have drawn, and they can point where we are on this wonderful spiral of uncountable stars. And yet it is part of our community. And there again, I had compassion for all the people, the animals, the plants, on all the other star systems or planets, all life, all energy. And then the next step in this meditation is I encompass all galaxies, all stars, all that is. And usually when I've done this meditation before, it's just a kind of a brief moment of feeling the entire universe in one feeling, and I am stretched out so that I am a part of the universe, and everything in the universe is part of me. At this time in this little room with the relics and the wonderful little ceremonies that we had just been through, I didn't just touch, I became it. I became the oneness. I'd become awakened to my fullness, my beingness, my everythingness. And there again, the word compassion is with me. And for an unknown amount of time, I was in this place that I had wanted to reach all my life, having read stories about the Buddha and different masters that talk about this state, but never can explain what it's like or how to get there. But for a while, and I even become uncomfortable with a little pain from sitting so long, and I moved around, but it didn't shake me out of this place. I got more comfortable in the position and kept right into this place. And the tears kept coming. It was sort of like tears of joy, I guess, but tears that were so real because I was feeling compassion for all life. And it was a lot different than honoring of all life that I do in my ceremony often. I say that and I try to feel it. But the word compassion that the Buddhists used was sort of like the mantra that carried me into this amazing place of oneness. And as I thought that this is maybe something I could teach or pass on to other people who are wanting to experience this experience, and I thought that maybe some might be very fearful when they got to this place of so far away from their body and breathing air and life as what most people see life as. And I thought, well, maybe if someone, I was able to talk to someone that would make them come here, they might be really frightened at this disillusion of their body and totally not being able to even feel it or experience it, they might consider that death. And so I thought, well, maybe what I should do is visualize this sphere of light shrinking now, getting smaller. And so that's what I did, thinking about passing this on to someone. And so I went through all the steps again down to where it was a sphere of light, of rainbow in my center of my being, in my heart center. And I opened my eyes and looked around the room, and it didn't look like anybody was staring at me or wondering what I was doing or what had happened. It was everybody, life was normal. Trish had gotten up and left. And I sat there for quite a while just trying to understand what had just happened to me and if I was ever going to be able to talk about it. So this is the first time I've described it. Because I wanted to hear it too, to see if perhaps I wanted to write this down so others might go on this journey and experience what I got to experience on that day. And I felt totally changed, and I didn't want to go out to dinner and talk or be in a noisy restaurant, so I just had to drive home. And I've been thinking about it a lot ever since that almost three weeks ago, and waiting for Trish to come down here so that I could tell her what happened and also perhaps listen to what I experienced and see if it's worthwhile to write it down and leave it for other people to be able to take that journey. So I'm sitting here with my sacred relics open, my pipe, my feathers, things that are meaningful to me in the sacred way to help me to get back into that place. And I'm sitting here in the middle of my temple that I built, that I do ceremony in every day, and there's sacred objects all around me. There's the honoring of all the different chakra system on my altar. And I am just so grateful and thankful that I got to experience that. And I hope that someone that hears about this may walk down that same trail and experience that place that I got to experience. Aho.
Spring. Yeah, it is.